know, I might not have felt that I could even apply for a commissioner position. My concern is that I'm not able to go to, like, the staff meeting and things because I'm not able to take off work. I'm a part-time person, but anything that happens during the week, you know, I'm at school, and so I don't want the commission staff to think I don't care because I'm not, you know, I'm not coming to such and such a meeting or whatever. So I'm wondering how to handle that because I don't look for retiring anytime soon. I'm just a part-time person, but I am there like every morning. So.
Well, here's what I would say to that. You know, first of all, you have responsibilities in your personal life, and that's, you know, your work, family, health, everything like that. This isn't a full-time job. I would say, you know, kind of pick your moments. Maybe in the course of your 8 years being a commissioner, maybe one year you'll just kind of, Carlos will be announcing that there's a staff meeting, and maybe that 1 year you might want to say, oh, this is a good time of my life that I'll go to that staff meeting. But you're not expected to be at everything. And, you know, to me, I say this all the time, you know, as a commissioner, you know, probably one of the most important things you can do is just do what you do. I mean, working and being a family member. You know, those are important roles, and then just being available when you can, maybe pick and choose your moments, but I don't think the staff expects us or wants us to be there all the time, but I think they
do. No.
I do sense that they appreciate it when you make an effort, and that can be as little or as much as you so desire, don't think that you have to compromise your work or your personal life. Like today, one of our board members couldn't be here because they couldn't get off work, and you know that happens in real life. And you know, we have been fortunate that you know, we don't always have all the board members at the meetings, but we have, you know, usually a quorum. So, and most of the time we do. So, just, you know, what I always try to do is every year make sure that my dates are free for our commissioner meetings. And then after that, it's you fit in whatever else you can and whatever else you desire. Kim, what are your thoughts on this?
No, I was thinking the same thing, and I definitely work full time as well, so I am not able to attend, you know, a lot of NCBVI functions. So I totally agree what you said. Agree with what Mark said.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to mention. And even, you know, Mark said he makes sure that he puts those dates of our meetings on his calendars, but there are times that things do come up. And, for example, I'm not going to be able to be at our May meeting because after our last meeting, I got notification of an out-of-town family wedding in Wisconsin, and so I won't be able to attend. But, you know, it's always my intention to make sure to be here. So.
Yeah, we're very, very well said. So do the best you can. I think just your willingness to serve as a commissioner says a lot about you. Sometimes it is hard. You know, every year we sit down and say we're going to have our meetings. Typically, we try to follow. We're going to meet the first Saturday in February, and because of weather, we try to meet in Omaha to reduce travel. In March, or, excuse me, what's the next one? April.
May.
In May, that's one where we're more likely to kind of travel about the state, where the weather should be fine. Lately, the last 2 years at the August meeting, we've been meeting on a Friday, just, you know, to maybe open the meetings up to someone that, you know, that maybe doesn't want to give up a weekend. It puts less stress on our staff, like Carol and Carlos and Kathy. We're taking time out of their weekends, and they work hard throughout the week. So we've done that in August, and I don't know, we're going to do that this August, and we'll look at it again next year. And then in November, we meet in Lincoln, I think it is. Or maybe I've got it backwards. I think we meet in Omaha in November and Lincoln in February. Does that sound right, Jim?
Yes, because we initially were meeting in Lincoln in November, and the thought process we had is, why compete with football traffic?
Yeah.
So we moved it to Omaha for November and Lincoln in February.
Yeah, and it just kind of made sense. You know, it is important that we don't just meet in Omaha and Lincoln, and it's, you know, we've got our May meeting. Is our May meeting in Kearney? Is
that, yes,
right? Yeah. And that's kind of a neat time you know, to get out and give the public, you know, out in other areas of the state a chance to participate. So,
and staff in that end of the state as well. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you know, in the past, one of the things I really enjoyed when I first became a commissioner is a lot of times if we were meeting in Kearney, we might check out their office space or whatever. Not, they don't have one now, but, you know, it was a neat chance to kind of check out things in that part of the state. So,
yeah, because the packet says our meetings are, you know, sort of where the offices are, which they're not. So,
yeah.
I wasn't concerned about our meeting dates. I was concerned about, you know, weekday meetings where, you know, in my case, no can do, not because of my family, because I don't, you know, my family's all in Wisconsin and thus and that. I'm a single person, never married. But, you know, it was just the logistics of, well, I have a job and I can't just, you know, not be at work.
No, that's understandable. You know, some stuff happens on weekends. I particularly am interested in the vending program. I try to go to that when I can, but they had a meeting yesterday and I couldn't make it. So, it doesn't always work. But, you know, you kind of over the course of your term, you kind of, you know, pick and choose what you can do. And without any guilt for, you know, working and living your life. All right, any other questions?
Mr. Chair, may I add something?
Yes.
I was just remembering last year, Linda, we had one of our meetings on a Friday. It was July instead of the first weekend in August, and we were able to participate and be part of, it was like the robotics workshop. And I guess that was our last day of it. And so, in that way, we were able to kind of be involved in some NCBBI function, but it still was within kind of our normal meetings.
Yeah, and summer's not a problem. You know, meeting in the summer is just, you know, the school year is the school year.
Yeah.
And I'm the only organist for chapel, and we do that every day, so I'll be there unless, you know.
All right, well, thank you, Kimberly.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
No, well, thank you. Kimberly, thank you for going over the job description. I'm just at this point, we've got Robert and Barbara and Jim. Are there, guys, since you've been in this, did this job as well, do you got any extra feedback or comments you want to tell the new commissioners about?
Yeah,
this is Barbara.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I just want to say that a lot of the items that are in the job description. We kind of came up with the job description as we were, in some areas, making mistakes and not wanting to pass those along in mistake form to people who would come after us. The issue about personnel issues, for instance, we, in the beginning, we were kind of figuring out what involvement did we have or should we have? What did it mean to create policies without dealing with personnel? Well, there certainly are ways of doing that, and we figured some of those out. There were issues about, you know, the public meeting situation and what we could do in terms of being outside of the meetings. We were careful not to decide things in email threads or things like that. I mean, all the decisions, and I'm hoping this is still the case, that the decisions are always made in public meetings and therefore have minutes, so that the record of the commission board is not an email thread record, but a minutes record. When somebody needs to look something up that happened or how it came down as far as what the board decided, it should be easy to figure that out. We started having a list of motions, and I hope that that continues. I know that you guys now deal with things. The packet initially was started out as a kind of a hard copy or document type of thing. I know that now there are the travel drives, which I think is a wonderful thing. But I hope all of the motions and even maybe why they happened is being kept in an ongoing fashion, because those things are important. And so when the board has its officer elections and things like that, that those things are part of what you as a board do. And the part about how things come to people's attention, for a while we had an anonymous suggestion box that staff people could put things, you know, questions, suggestions, things like that into, so that there was an avenue to the board as a whole that was not going to some individual because somebody was a friend or whatever. I mean, we are a small group as a whole in this state as blind people, and a lot of people know one another on various levels. And so keeping those things separated and giving staff an opportunity to make a suggestion in a way that wasn't public or that wasn't something that everybody would kind of bandy about was an important thing for a while. And the thing about the commission board speaking as a whole came about partly because we did have, you know, a little bit of an issue at one point with someone who was saying things as if they were from the board, but they weren't. And that can get into a really difficult place. And so for the commission to speak, commission board to speak as a whole, and to not have people just individually making statements on its behalf or whatever, I hope is still how it is. I know that some things change and need to, but there are nothing in the job description that we initiated in the beginning didn't have some kind of history about it or reason for happening. Yeah. So.
Well, I will say, I go to a lot of different meetings in the city and state. And, you know, I will say that we're not even going to make a decision unless it's on the agenda. Because, you know, part of the reason you send out an agenda is so people can look at that agenda and say, oh, they're going to talk about this. I might want to come. And or that. So, you know, we're not going to, there's not going to be something that pops up and that we will act upon that if it wasn't already announced on the agenda. So
that, and I appreciate that. I didn't think you did that. I think you're doing an excellent job as chair, Mark. And so, you know, I didn't think you were doing that.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm on, while you just said that, then Jim, I'll get to you.
That's fine.
It is amazing how things have evolved. You know, I'm going to just talk briefly about public comment. You know, it used to be at the meetings, you know, yeah, we were all, you know, knew each other. And, you know, if someone in the public wanted to say something at any point, they just said it. And now, you know, as you know, things get more complicated or whatever, we offer public comment periods so that people can, they can let their concerns be known, but there has to be an order to it. And I can remember Julie Johnson, you know, we were having problems where people were just kind of, public were just interrupting, and she said, oh, I went to one of the city council meetings, and, you know, this is how they handled that, and now we have public comment period, and, you know, things evolve. Sometimes you don't have to address something until there's a problem, so, but, yeah, very good comments. Thank you, Barbara. Jim, what was your comment?
Yeah, you said most everything I was going to say, and Barb did, too, but the question I was going to ask, we were talking about, or Linda was talking about being concerned about attending meetings during the week that happen, staff meetings or what have you. When I was on the board, guys, I only went to maybe one or two staff meetings in my eight-year term because, like Linda, I had a full-time job in a call center and I couldn't always get the time off. So, Linda, I wouldn't get excited about all of that. I mean, like Mark said, get there when you can. If you can't get there, I'm sure nobody's going to hold that against you. The other question I had, maybe for the board, maybe for Kathy or Carlos, Barb mentioned something I was going to talk about was that anonymous suggestion box, and I forget how that came about. Is that still being used, or does one still exist? And if so, do staff know how to submit feedback through that suggestion box?
Yeah, that's not exist anymore. Because on the last few comments, what happened is was called suggestion box, and it wasn't filling the purpose in the last few years. Instead of suggesting, they were criticizing. I can give you one last example that we had. One member just said, be careful on your way up, you are going to meet us on your way down. I know. So they were using that in a professional way. So in one meeting, I think the board decided if we want to be transparent, staff also want to be transparent, if they want to make suggestions, why are they going to be intimidated? You know, they can just make suggestions to you directly or to me directly. Because it was giving them some kind of space for, like I say, you know, most people are well-intended, but some were using it for something else.
Okay. That clarifies that. Then that's good to know. I didn't realize that. The other thing, I think it was Cheryl, you asked a question about personnel, or not personnel, but if someone from staff comes to you and says something, what do you do? That actually happened when I was on the board. They didn't come to me. They came to, I believe, Julie. And I forget exactly how she handled it. But if I remember correctly, I think what she did was say, hey, talk to your supervisor, talk to Carlos, talk to somebody else other than me, because we have no say over, you know, what goes on with inside the agency. So that's, there you go. That's what I have so far. So.
Well, thank Mark, you. This is Carol. Could I make a comment?
Please, Carol.
So I've sat on both sides of the table as a commissioner, a consumer, you know, agency employee, and things. And so I just, the biggest thing in my mind that really matters is confidentiality. Because as a commissioner, information will be shared with you that's confidential, sensitive in nature, whether it's about the agency, a staff member, a consumer, something that's happening. And so when we're in public meetings, it's really important to keep in mind the information you know and to not necessarily ask questions or say things in a public meeting that would, you know, harm the agency, a staff member, a consumer, you know, unintentionally. Because some things, yes, it's happened, but it's not, you know, not everybody knows about it. And so it's knowing where you're at, what questions you're asking. Because if you want additional information, you know, ask the executive director, you know, about what that is. It's not always the most appropriate time to ask about sensitive information in a public meeting, because the recording will live forever.
Yep.
And it will be out there. Right. So that's just my two cents worth, because it doesn't happen all the time. It's pretty rare, but sometimes things happen, and you know, it's not fair to anyone to have that situation put out to the public for everybody to know or hear about.
Yeah, I just talked about Carlos about that the other day. I said, you know, if I have questions, you know, about that, I'm not going to wait till the meeting, you know, and play gotcha. And Carlos is that kind of guy, and the people we hire should be that way, where if you got a question, you know, that's his job, is to address your concerns or your questions. But it doesn't have to be all aired in the public. Our job when we have our public meetings is to do the business, to sustain the business, and give consumers, you know, an opportunity to hear about the business. But confidentiality.
Talking about confidentiality, one more example, which I think I'm going to skip names. It's the other way around too. Sometimes you are privy to confidential information from the agency personnel, being a small minority. Many of us have friends on different levels. So, you know, one ex-commissioner mentioned to one of the friends something. Well, the friend worked for the agency and he started to talk about it. It became, was all an impression was, oh, I'm close to the commissioner, or I know firsthand because I'm close. And it became even a legal issue. So to avoid any legal issues against you or the agency, just be mindful of those things. You know, the ex-commissioner was just being nice, and I guess that was a friend of that person. He didn't have any bad intention. He was saying, oh, by the way, it is. But again, it's confidential information for a reason.
Yeah, thank you. That's, we are dealing with people that, whether you're on the staff or you're a consumer, you have a right to the expectation of confidentiality. And then, you know, Carlo touched about it. Not only is it a right, sometimes it can become a legal issue. And we certainly don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. That person was called to testify. We just became a big. We tried to keep it confidential, still that one, but I'm just telling you in general what happened to prevent that again from happening.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, thank you. You know, sometimes it just, you almost have to stop and think. I just try to keep my commissioner's hat on when I'm a commissioner, and then when I take it off, I try not to share anything that doesn't need to be shared. So, all right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the comments from Barbara and Jim, and we're running, not that time is a big deal, but I'm going to try to hit some things and that I think that needed to be talked about, maybe in no particular order, but We definitely, as commissioners, we have a responsibility to review the minutes in a timely manner. Open meeting law says that, you know, you will publish meeting minutes within so many days of the meeting. So read the minutes, provide whatever input that you feel that you need to provide to provide better clarification, and then, you know, let the record be as accurate as it can be. So normally, you know, I just make a kind of a practice to start watching for the minutes shortly after the meeting, just so that I don't miss them. And, you know, and then to me, it's just a good idea to respond to Kathy and, you know, tell her you got the minutes and if you have any comments or anything. So, and Kathy always does a great job getting the minutes out and trying to do the best she can. The minutes are ours, so we, even though she takes them, you know, we have some responsibility in making sure they're the best they can be. I mentioned about public comment. Every board meeting we have a public comment period, so that does give people that from the public an opportunity to be heard. And sometimes if someone comes to me and says, "Hey, Mark, you know, I have this concern about that," I might even say, "Well, there's a meeting, you know, there's a public comment time. This is your chance to be heard." And that kind of takes it out of my responsibility and puts it on them. You know, the meetings are recorded. I'd like to say I listen to them every time, but I do try to go back and listen to them, especially if there's an area that I'm just trying to reprocess it and think, did I get that right or not? So, you know, you can kind of go back to the audio, and if there's a certain area you're not quite, you know, you're unsure about, you can go back and listen to that part. Our meetings are run with the spirit of Robert's Rules of Order. You know, I'm not a parliamentarian or an expert. The spirit of Robert's Rules of Order is you give the minority an opportunity to be heard. And the majority, you know, speaks, and try to be as inclusive and respectful as possible. If we ever get into something, maybe that's a procedural thing, Kathy's pretty well versed on that, and we'll address it as time comes, if needed. Currently on our agenda, we have like commissioner's update or commissioner's report, and that whole line item has a history of its own. People used to come to the meetings and ask what we were doing, so we put, you know, I think Julie Johnson put it on the agenda, and I think the board approved it to have a line item that the commissioners give an update on just what they're doing, because it's just interesting to the general public. And it's interesting when I hear other commissioners talk. So then for a while it was taken off. And at that time, the board had a majority vote to take it off the agenda. Then we tried to bring it back once and it failed, and then we brought it back the second time, and now it's on the agenda again. So, Jim, what are your thoughts about the commissioner's report? I know you've been a strong advocate.
I was really livid when that was a meeting, I think, Mark, that you missed because I think there was some health concerns on your side of the pin, and I didn't go because of whatever. But I was being very blunt, mad as hell when that was taken off the agenda, because that was something that Julie and I talked about. Let's put this on the agenda. And there was a reason for it. You know, the intent behind it was, if I remember correctly, to give those that are attending the meetings an idea of what we are doing to support not only the agency, but also, you know, promote ourselves as blind individuals, independent blind individuals. And I felt by taking that off of the agenda, that kind of defeated the whole purpose of being on the board. I mean, but luckily, thank God, somebody had some sense, and the folks were there to bring it back, because that's one thing that I really was a strong advocate for, is having it back on the agenda.
Yeah, Robert, I agree with Jim. I always like to hear it, you know, what fellow commissioners have been up to. So I think it just helps with the whole legitimacy that they really have a reason to be there in that seat.
Yep.
You know, then it's not a competition to see which commissioner is doing more or advocacy or whatever. It's just kind of just keeps it real. And so that people know that, hey, we got some skin in the game, and we're representative of the consumer body.
So. Yep, and that was Julie's argument. And I know if she were here today, she said, you know, you need to let the public know what you're doing to occupy that seat. You're not just a warm, you know, button to seat. So.
All right, the next thing I just want to talk about is a quick overview of the role of the chair and vice chair and executive secretary, and you know, the chair basically leads the meeting, and the vice chair is ready at any time to assume the responsibilities of the chair leading the meetings. And in our particular structure, the vice chair puts together the agenda and works with the chair, and we put that together. And then Robert, you were a vice chair. What would you say the role of the vice chair was?
Well, I would say do a better job than I did in terms of remembering the exact title, because I always was anyway. But the role of it, well, you know, it's just to be there. I guess, I'm trying to say in support of everyone on the board, but especially the chair, because I remember at times when I would see an email and I knew that maybe Mark didn't always check it as often as I do. Mm-hmm. I would give him a text, because I know that he will respond to a text, you know, quicker than a message, you know, on voicemail or an email. Just kind of, again, know your... who your compatriots on the board, just kind of, you know, the best way to communicate with them. And the vice chair, you know, that's kind of their responsibility, is to, you know, kind of, you know, just keep the chairperson, you know, just really informed and up on things. So that's the main thing that I, you know, took away from it and did while I was in there.
I would agree with that, yep. Robert.